It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On today's show, we are going to focus on transportation planning and projects on the horizon in Tuolumne County. A big topic. The guest today is Tuolumne County Transportation Council Executive Director Darren Grossi. Darren, it's great to have you back on Motherlode Views.
Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
So for anybody unfamiliar, it has been a while since we've had you on Motherlode Views. What exactly does the Transportation Council all oversee?
The Transportation Council is the designated regional transportation planning agency for Tuolumne County. It's formed under a joint powers agreement between the City of Sonora and Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors, dating back to about 1970. At that time, we were charged with doing long-term planning for the county or the region, as well as going after federal and state funds. We still do those things today, but we also have a different side of the house that oversees public transit in Tuolumne County. So Tuolumne County Transit is our effort, and we also are involved with other public transportation services in the county provided by nonprofits as well. So we work very closely with Caltrans, the City of Sonora, and County of Tuolumne to deliver major transportation projects.
So how is your board of directors made up?
We have two board members from the City of Sonora, City Council, two from the Board of Supervisors, and one citizen at large. We also have three different advisory committees that review all projects and programs and give input to the governing board on all projects.
Remember recently you were advertising an open seat on the board. Is there still an open seat?
There is still an open seat. We will again revisit that issue at our February 14th meeting, and perhaps we'll have a person seated on the board at that point in time.
So let's jump into some projects that are on the horizon over the coming years. What are some of the bigger projects that you're working on right now?
Well, I think the last time I was on, we talked about our transition from focusing on projects in the East Sonora area. East Sonora Bypass is a project that we helped deliver, and we were, as well as a lot of other projects around the county, and we're really putting our focus on Highway 49 in that corridor and building that into a more developed highway that's more multimodal in use, providing for public transit, bicycle, pedestrians, as well as making sure that traffic can get through the congestion areas and accommodate evacuations in the corridor.
How about Jamestown? Is that an area that's got a lot of projects?
Yes. That area has had a robust amount of interest. We've had a project that we've been talking about for a long time that would provide sidewalks, bike lanes, public transit stops, a park and ride, as well as widening the highway out to four through lanes, as well as additional turn lanes where appropriate. That project starts just east of Sierra Motors and continues west to just about Harvard Mine Road. That project we've been talking about for a very long time. It's the next highest priority in the region. We just put in for, I think it's $2.7 million to start the plan approval and environmental documentation phase with the California Transportation Commission. And it looks like it's going to have staff recommendation to go forward with that. Once we get done with that environmental phase and plan approval, that'll take 2 to 3 years. We'll acquire any right-of-way that we need to get for another year or so, and then hopefully start construction with the state.
So roughly how many dollars are we talking with that overall project?
You know, that project is right now looking like about a $22 million project. So we would definitely need state funds to do it. But in tandem to that project, the state is doing an overlapping project, interestingly enough, on Highway 49. This starts all the way down at Chicken Ranch. They're going to repave the whole highway all the way up to the north side of Sonora, up by, I think it's LC Way and the Arco Station up there. They are also proposing walkways through the corridor where both agencies are very interested in implementing the Gold Rush Path that extends from Sonora all the way down to the Chicken Ranch through Jamestown, as well as heading northward to Columbia College and into Columbia State Park. The state is interested in incorporating that project into their project. The project has a lot of I mentioned the five-lane winding project has a park and ride, sidewalks, and bike lanes. This project will also have all those same elements in the Jamestown area. It will widen the bridge or put a new bridge in, frankly, over Woods Creek, just west of Jamestown. That's very important. I think everybody knows how narrow that bridge is. There's nowhere for pedestrians to walk. So that's an important aspect of it. That project will extend up into Sonora. They'll work with the city of Sonora to look at what the needs are there, do an ADA improvements probably along the sidewalks up there, perhaps do various improvements at the crosswalks to improve safety. They will, so they're going to be doing a public outreach phase in July, beginning of July. Be very important for merchants in Sonora as well as anyone that has an interest in that corridor to give their input on what they'd like to see on that corridor. One of the things they're going to be looking at is should there be a separated Gold Rush path away from traffic would the public be supportive of just having perhaps bike lanes, shoulders of roads, or sidewalks in that corridor? I think that if you just look at generally surveys of people, they prefer to have a separated bike facility from traffic, but we'll have to see what's right fit for Tuolumne County. That's a project that also has been put in for about $65 million in funding. I think it's likely to go up considerably from there. So the state is investing major resources into the 49 corridor right now.
So a Gold Rush Trail that could start down at Chicken Ranch and go all the way to Columbia College area at some point?
That's right. We are working with the tribe. We help them get a grant to look at that western end of it. They're also interested in utilizing the railroad corridor for perhaps a pathway. So as you get to that western end, you might have a loop, a pathway along the highway corridor that goes into Chicken Ranch, and then you can also pop out, cross the highway, probably at the roundabout, and then get up on the rail corridor and swing back into Railtown and come out Fifth Avenue back out to the highway and connect up with the Gold Rush path there. So that's a very interesting piece of it.
Yeah, that'd definitely be like a major project for Tuolumne County. Again, is it still kind of in the dreaming phase, or does it look like there could be some state funding that can make that happen?
Oh, we have funding, particularly for the Gold Rush path. We have funding to start what I call phase one of the Gold Rush path. That's through the Sonora area. It begins out by the fairgrounds, up Stockton Road. It will connect to the new bus stop we see on Stockton Road, but it will also go up along the, I think it's Sonora Creek there, through Rotary Park. It'll extend up that through that area along the creek, which will be very pleasant, pop out at Snell. And we've got that. It connects with Racetrack Road, I believe, is where that road terminates, or that path, or the phase one path terminates. We're starting the environmental and plan approval phase, but we have, I think, about $5.6 million in funding for that project already secured from the state. That should take us through construction. That's the very first phase.
Yep.
we also have secured $270,000 to begin to plan how that pathway would work its way through the high school area, popping out at Highway 49 and then extending northward all the way to Pedro Y. And that's a project that will be starting up in earnest around about May or June. And again, wanting a lot of public input on how that section of highway should be built out. That's a section of highway 49 north coming out of Sonora that is very much underdeveloped. We really need to have safer facilities for the kids that walk to school. And we need to work with the school to make sure that as we build out facilities through their area, that we can make sure it works for traffic and parking in the high school area as well as school bus operations and whatnot.
So that first phase, which you have the money for already, is there any type of timeline to get through the environmental review and actually start some construction?
We have about a two-year window for environmental review, probably about another year for right-of-way, and then it's a one to two-year construction time frame.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking about transportation projects in Tuolumne County on this weekend's Motherlode Views. A lot happening. We're joined on the program by Darren Grossi, who is the Executive Director of the Tuolumne County Transportation Council. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with Tuolumne County Transportation Council Executive Director Darren Grossi on this weekend show, getting into transportation projects that are going to be big things in Tuolumne County over the next 5 to 10 years, and even in next couple of years. We're talking about various projects. And Mr. Grossi, as we ended, we were talking about the Gold Rush Path, a big trail project that's in the development process right now. Can you talk a little bit more about the Columbia leg of that project?
Sure. I just talked about the first phase, which is through Sonora, and then the next planning phase up to Pedro Y. But if we're going to go for funding from the state, it doesn't make sense to just end at the Pedro Y. They want to see a logical termini, is what they call it, origin destinations of trips. So we started looking a little closer at it. We do feel that we need to move forward with the piece that goes north to Columbia College. That's a very important route that we've talked about for years. We did get some new funding from the state called Carbon Reduction Program funds that we need to program. We're going to be asking our board to fund the planning phase of that northern portion that would extend up from the Pedro Y there at 49 Parrots Ferry Road. And we're going to look at some alternatives to go into Columbia State Park, one of which is to go down Sawmill Flat Road. There's a waterline easement that extends through the hills from Sawmill Flat Road up to the lower parking area. I think it's by the sports complex there that I've walked. It's been 25 years or more since I walked that pathway, but it is a doable route that we're going to look at. As an alternative, we're going to look at extending out Sawmill Flat Road over to the entrance and then up through the entrance as an alternative route for bicycles and pedestrians. But we also need to tie in other housing in the school, Columbia Elementary and the state park. If we're going to go after a grant to build this thing, the state's going to want to see that we're tying in users. So we do plan on looking at extending bikeway paths, perhaps more bike lanes and sidewalks along Parrots Ferry Road. There's some apartments in there that would likely use it. We have the Habitat for Humanity housing out there. Then you connect up to the airport in some way, Columbia Elementary, and then the state park. That starts making a lot of sense to the state, I believe, to tie those folks in to where they can get to the schools, they can get to Sonora on these paths eventually. We think it creates a very attractive project for the state to fund through construction. And we're going to look at one other piece that connects up Columbia State Park back to the college. There's some trails that we've seen. Some of my staff have walked between the state park and the college to see if maybe we can put in some sort of pathway through there that works for the public as well. Having a nice loop in Columbia would be great for the residents.
Yeah, definitely keep us posted on how that project develops. You know, I want to get into another project as well. For many years, there's been talk about some form of a Greenlee Road north-south connector project. We actually had a candidate forum with the four candidates running for Sonora City Council, and all four said that they support that project and idea and concept. So I'm curious where that project and the plans are right now.
Well, I'm glad to hear the candidates are interested in that project. And I would note that you guys ran a poll on that a year or so ago, and it had over 60% support, as I recall, from the public. And I think that all of us saw with the Washington fire how the town gets gridlocked in an evacuation situation. We need better connectivity. We have for decades looked at the, what we call the north-south connector as an important connection from the north side of Sonora to the east side of Sonora from a traffic standpoint. But also now we realize its importance from an evacuation standpoint. Phase one is the Greenlee Road extension of the north-south connector overall project. We have worked with the city council to put up $125,000. The Board of Supervisors has put up $125,000, and the TCTC's put up $125,000 to do what we call a project initiation document. Right now we have the request for qualifications draft available on our website for the public to review and comment on to make sure that it has a robust scope of work to address all the community concerns from what the property owners might, how they might want to voice those concerns, to downtown merchants, economic impacts, engaging with the school, all aspects of this road. We know that if you've been here for a few decades, you know this road was originally planned in the 80s. In fact, the county had secured funding to build the project through the feds, and politically it died, and those funds were returned to the feds, and the project hasn't gone much of anywhere since that time. I think the time is right to really give it another look and determine the project's feasibility and if the community is ready to move forward with our project or not.
Any other notable projects that you're working on right now?
You know, we are doing some interesting bike ped projects up in the Groveland area. We did secure funding for the Hetch Hetchy Trail that Groveland Community Service District is going to be building out. We're partnering with them to help them get that project built. It will connect up Pine Mountain Lake to the ball fields and then go down the old Hetchy Railroad alignment, connecting up with downtown out to Merrill. Eventually, they want to get it all the way out to Big Oak Flat. I think that project got around $5 million in funding. Likewise, the county is partnered up with Caltrans on a project that will tie in the Tenaya Elementary School down 120, linking it with downtown. And that project, as I recall, got $4 or $5 million as well. So we've been very successful lately getting funding for bike and ped projects. We're anticipating another call for projects in May or so. And we're working with the city and the county to what we do, project development, get them ready to apply because these applications are extremely competitive. Less than 5% of the projects that submit for funding request get actually funded. So you've got to really know what a competitive project looks like and how to sell the project in the application process.
Yeah, it sounds like it takes a lot of strategy to put those grant applications together.
There is a tremendous amount of strategy. It's not always the project that maybe is most desired by a community. Oftentimes it's the one that fits the criteria best and can score highest. If you don't have a project that scores well into the 90s, you're probably not going to get funded.
We need to take one more break on Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with Darren Grossi. He is the executive director of the Tuolumne County Transportation Council, getting an update on various projects, major significant projects proposed for Tuolumne County. During the next segment, we're going to get into some transit changes and projects as well. And Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. And a reminder, if you miss any of this or other Motherlode Views shows, you can find them archived in their entirety on mymotherlode.com in the media section. Our final segment with Darren Grossi coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with Darren Grossi, who is the Executive Director of the Tuolumne County Transportation Council, getting an update on various major projects being looked at in Tuolumne County. You know, one thing we haven't talked about yet in length is transit. So is there anything new going on in the transit sphere as well?
There is a lot of things going on in the transit world. You know, it's one of the tougher things I have to deal with is our ridership declines. We've seen major declines. Frankly, nationwide, we've seen declines in transit as a result of COVID. I think many of our riders got scared that they might get COVID as a result of riding public transit. And our ridership dropped off from over 400 rides a day to about 40 for a period there. We're back up around 300 rides a day and making good strides. We've cut back on services that maybe even at 400 rides a day weren't economically viable, and we're trying to rebuild our service to be more in line with what the public wants. So we've got a robust dial ride. The dial ride, while it is 89% senior and disabled folks, it also has 11% that's open to the general public. We have a fair amount of general public riders there. We're hoping to build that up with a new app we have. Right now, Dial Ride is you call the public transit office at 532-0404, tell them where you need to get to, when you need to get there. Hopefully, you're calling at least a week, maybe a couple days in advance, and we get you scheduled into the system. We're going to roll out here in the next few months an app-based reservation system, so you'll be able to use your phone to schedule your ride just like Uber, and we're hoping to have a fairly robust same-day service that complements that, at least in the Sonora area. We think that might be much more attractive to the general public to ride Dial Ride. Right now it's free. All of our rides are free as a result of some air quality grants that we've gotten. We also have our fixed route, which is very much preferred by a lot of our regular riders. The Sonora service is doing excellent. Route 1, Route 2 is growing pretty quick. And we also have a service from Groveland through Jamestown up to Columbia College that links with those other routes that's got a fair amount of ridership on it. You know, public transit is kind of a safety net service in Tuolumne County. We have other things that we work with nonprofits to help them get funding for their services that provide niche type medical transportation and whatnot, although we also provide medical transportation. We have a really neat service for those people that are too disabled or too elderly to ride regular public transit called the TRIP program, where you can apply and demonstrate your needs. And we will actually, if you can find a person to give you a ride, we'll reimburse at the IRS mileage tax reimbursement rate. That's very important for people that maybe used to ride transit their whole life, but now they're in their 80s and they need assistance to get around and go shopping. That's a service that we really would like to see grow because we know there's a lot of needs out there. So those are some of the basic things going on. Looking down the road a bit, we have gotten new funding as a result of SB 125, about almost $7 million in new funding to both roll out new services that the public's been asking for, perhaps service down to the valley, and then also start making the transition to in a more robust way towards zero-emission vehicles.
I want to ask you real quickly about, you mentioned the rides are free right now, Dial-A-Ride, due to a state grant. Is that a pretty unique thing to Tuolumne County? Are there other parts of the state also offering free rides right now?
I think it was unique to us a couple years ago. We started that in COVID, or during the COVID era. We actually are doing it system-wide, and I'm noticing that a lot of other rural counties are starting to use those air quality funds in that same manner now.
Also wanted to ask you about, you mentioned zero emission vehicles. I know that's a big push right now in the state of California. Is there money coming locally for the infrastructure?
Yes. Again, SB 125 is providing nearly $7 million for us to spend over the next 5 years. We can use it on both operations as well as the transition to zero emission vehicles. We've been working with the group Yosemite Clean Energy, They have secured some funding through the state to begin to design a hydrogen production facility. It would take biomass out of the forest as well as biomass out of the ag in the valley to convert to hydrogen. We've done some studies that show that while we can use electric vehicles for some parts of our service, it doesn't have the range that a hydrogen bus would use and what we need on some of our routes. We find that with hydrogen, the technology allows us to have the same range as well as quick fueling comparable to a diesel bus. So that's a much more attractive option. We have requested funding from the state, part of that $7 million, to begin to look at a hydrogen fueling facility as well as a maintenance facility that we could perhaps do a joint effort with the county public works so that they're going to be under those same mandates as well as perhaps other public agencies, Tuolumne County, to transition to zero emission vehicles. We think it makes sense to partner with some of those agencies on a fueling facility as well as a joint maintenance facility for those types of vehicles. It's very, very specialized stuff. It doesn't, in my mind, make a lot of sense for each of us to do it independently.
The buses that you have currently, are some of those electric? Or
we have one electric bus. It's working out quite well. We run it in service just about every day, have had very few issues with it. But its range is only about 80 miles a day, and our typical bus needs to travel about 130 miles a day. So it has a fairly limited use in Tuolumne County, but we recognize that that's likely to be the situation. If we were to go all electric, instead of having 20, 22 buses, we'd probably need to have 30 or so buses. That's why we're probably going to have a blend of electric and hydrogen in the future. Come 2026, half of our fleet that we purchase has to be zero emission, and I think it's by 2035 or so, everything has to be zero emission vehicles. So, you know, if you're an early adopter of these technologies, you can usually get a lot of grant funding, and that's where we're headed.
Like electric charging stations for vehicles, is that something that your agency would get involved with, or is that more just the private sector?
A little both, actually. We have helped get grants through the Energy Commission to put in chargers up at Lavaroni Park in Groveland. We have worked with the private sector to put in stations with no tax dollars whatsoever, charging units at our office complex in East Sonora on Morningstar. That was a private parking lot, and the charges were put in by a private enterprise. They're looking to, eventually as the fleet turns over, they'll be selling a lot of electricity to people that are coming in and working all day in that office complex, and they will jointly share in the profits of selling that electricity is the model that they have. So we do see a role for government to play in getting grant funds for parking lots, particularly in those downtown areas, you know, downtown Sonora, Jamestown, Twainhardt. We think we have a role to play in getting chargers put into some of those commercial centers and parking lots that are, particularly the parking lots that are owned by government agencies.
We've been talking about transportation projects and efforts on this weekend's Motherlode Views, joined on the program this weekend by Darren Grossi, who is the Tuolumne County Transportation Council Executive Director. Darren, any closing comments you'd like to make?
There's a lot of exciting things coming up, and we encourage the public to go to our website and learn about what's going on and engage where you feel appropriate.
You mentioned your website. If they want to find information on the Greenlee North-South Connector proposal?
They will. That, as well as the Gold Rush Path and some of the highway projects, Tuolumne County Transportation Council.org.
Well, check out the website. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. Again, we thank Darren Grossi for being our guest on this weekend's Motherlode Views. If you missed any of this Motherlode Views show or past shows, you can find those archived on mymotherlode.com. A programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we're going to talk with one of the California Assembly members who represents the region, Heath Flora. He represents the area around Copperopolis, Oakdale, LaGrange, and some other valley communities. He's going to join us next week on Motherlode Views to give us an update from the state capitol. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.